Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Father, bless your servant as he comes before us, stands before us. And we pray, Lord, that you would just whisper in his ear, put your words in his mouth, hide him behind your cross, cover him with your word, Lord. Speak to us through him. We're here to make, as our pastor always says, we're here to make much of Jesus. And just pray that your Holy Spirit will be with Rick and bless him as he comes here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, Second Mile. What a great day it is to worship together. I have come to really love your pastor, and I know that he is a traditionalist. So he was desperate for a white Christmas. However, he opted for white sand rather than snow. And so they are down there, and so you pray for good weather. I think they had a ton of rain already down where he is hold up spending Christmas. But it is great to be with you all. I've had the opportunity to get to know some of you all from various things, projects we've done together. But I've also gotten a chance to know some of you all because of the Kenwood project that we're working on right now. That 2020 holds a great deal of that project ahead of us as we work through that together. And I'm excited about what God is doing right here in the Clarksville area. You know, God is bringing people to us. The challenge is, will we as the church respond to see them as the people that we can share the gospel with? And so that's why we're here. That's why God's bringing them here, I believe. And I'm just excited about what God's going to do in the days ahead. I want to just share with you this morning a good word related to Christmas. And I want to invite you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to a very familiar passage. It is from Luke chapter 2. A message entitled, The Questions of Christmas. So I want to ask if you would turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse 1 of that very familiar passage. And if you are able today, I'd like to ask if you'd stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. Now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went from Galilee to the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths. And they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem, and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about the child. And all those who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that had been heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's pray together. Father, we are grateful on this Lord's Day before we celebrate Christmas. Father, each of us may be at different stages and scenes in our lives. And Christmas, for some of us, reminds us of the familiar. For others of us, there are things that are very, very different for us this year. But Lord, our prayer today, it is this, as we look at a treasured story from Scripture, we pray that you might speak to us in a new and clear way. Father, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross, and that, Lord, even as we share from the Word today, that, Lord, you would help us not simply to be hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word also. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The valuable questions of the real Christmas. That's what I want to talk to you about today. All of us have some schedules and plans for Christmas. It's amazing how often those kinds of things can be quickly sidetracked. It was the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And so we had a big line of things at our house to get ready, not only for Thanksgiving, but we were also getting ready for Christmas. And so it was my job. Go up in the attic and get the Christmas tree down. And so, you know, I went up, like I've done every year, to get the Christmas tree down, right? And so I found when I got up there that this artificial Christmas tree was in its original box, but the box had actually popped open. And so kind of laying there on the floor of the attic were these different pieces of the Christmas tree. And so I grabbed one of them and went over and handed it to Shirley, my wife, who, you know, took it down to the ladder. And while she was taking that little piece to the living room, something caught my eye, and I slipped. And all of a sudden, our living room had a skylight. My right leg went right through the drywall ceiling, and fortunately, my left leg folded up underneath me. Our plans were all of a sudden interrupted. And what should have been a smooth day of trying to get some things decorated and get ready to have family and all that kind of stuff for Thanksgiving and then Christmas, all of a sudden was sidetracked. I just have a feeling that some of you who are here today are probably in a situation where this particular Christmas, there's something different. There's an interruption. There's somebody missing in your life or at your table this year that was there last year. There's some things that you wish were a lot smoother this year than they are. And so as you and I get closer to Christmas, you're probably wondering some things about what Christmas looks like for you and your family. And I want to suggest to you that I've got good news for you. Because when you look at the real Christmas story, not the ones on Hallmark, the real Christmas story, there are some questions that the text asks us. And when you and I look at those questions, they have encouragement and hope for us if we're honest with those questions. And so the first thing I want you to see is I want you to look in that first few verses, verse 1 through 7, really sort of tells the background. Luke is the only one who gives us some historical tabs so we can connect when the birth of Jesus takes place. But if you begin to look towards the end of that, I want to point out a couple of words to you that you've heard before. Verse 5, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child, while they were there, Bethlehem, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The first question I want to ask to you today is simply this. In all the things that are going on in your Christmas celebration, in your family, in your life, in your home, is there room for Jesus? I want to talk to you about that. Because the reality is, if there's not room for Christmas, Christmas does not have much lasting value for all of us. And as a matter of fact, when you and I begin to look at what it says there, and I know we've heard those words hundreds of times before, because there was no room for them in the inn. We do, you know, Christmas plays where there's a character that is the little dressed up innkeeper who says no, you know. We've seen that kind of thing before. The reality is we don't know if there was an innkeeper. We don't know much about that. Here's what we know. We know that when Joseph and Mary arrived in Bethlehem, they were, as you and I would say, sort of flying by the seat of their pants. There was not a hotel reservation made at the Hampton Inn. They didn't have a situation set up at the local hospital ER to receive her. I tell you that because I want you to recognize that one of the things that we miss in all the nativity scenes and all the festivities is that everything about the first Christmas was an uncomfortable event in the life of Mary, Joseph, and the baby. You and I begin to think about that. Just think about what it was like for Mary to travel a three-day journey while she is great with child, as they say. Think about how uncomfortable that must have been. Think, if you will, about what it must have been like for them to arrive and just sort of be trying to look for some place where they could land. I tell you that because it's so critical that you and I realize in our lives that sometimes our best plans, sometimes our best arrangements are going to get messed up. And so when the week was set up a little later on in my household, we had not only a Christmas tree set up, but we also had a hole in the ceiling. By the way, it's been fixed. But I got to tell you, when you and I begin to think about that, sometimes that's like our lives. In our lives, there's a Christmas tree and some things hanging from the mantle, right? But the rest of our lives are mixed up and messed up, and we're struggling with relationships. We're struggling maybe in our relationship with the Lord. Maybe there's some things at work or in our health or whatever that's going on that we are struggling with. I'm telling that because I want you to recognize that sometimes God uses those things to get our attention. And whenever He gets our attention, you better believe He does amazing things. Because, you know, the Scripture tells us that when you and I are thinking about Jesus coming, we're looking at the Old Testament, we are reminded that He is Wonderful Counselor. He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father. He is Prince of Peace. But here's the reality in many of our lives. If we don't make room to experience that, we will never know the power of the Prince of Peace in our lives. He is indeed, yes, a baby in the Christmas scene. But He is going to be so much more in our lives if we simply make room for Him. And so what you and I need to stop and think about is, have we prioritized our lives in such a way that there is room for Jesus on a day-to-day basis? I want to suggest for you there are three quick ways we can do that. One of the ways we can do that is to make sure that there is room for the Word of God regularly in our lives. For so often it becomes a dusty book on a shelf. It's amazing to me how often I'll walk through a parking lot of the dreaded Walmart or someplace like that, you know, and you see strewn across the back window of a car or whatever, you see somebody's Bible stuck in there. And it kind of looks maybe like it hadn't been moved in a while, you know, it's kind of sun faded, you know. Is it just possible that's true in our lives? We talk about the Bible, we believe the Bible, but is there room for the Word of God in our lives? There needs to be room for the Word. Secondly, there needs to be room for worship. There needs to be room for worship. You see, if you and I are not intentional about both private and public worship, it will not take place in our lives. It will get pushed to the side. One of the things that I'm looking at, working with our association, is that our churches are struggling with this reality. People consider themselves to be active members of a church when they're actually attending much fewer times or many fewer times than they used to. Because there's so many other things that crowd out the worship opportunities that ought to be feeding our souls. Here's the third thing. We have room for the word. We have room for worship. But here's one more. We have room for witness. Room for witness. One of the things that I love about your pastor is your pastor would share the gospel with a telephone pole. Are you with me? I'm just mindful, for those of you longtime Clarksville folks here, that when I read this text, there's a guy that some of you all may have known named Jimmy Terry. Some of you all know that name. African-American pastor who founded a church here. He's been gone about 2.5 years. The text that I read, Pastor Terry had memorized word for word. And he had a reputation here in town of going on Christmas Eve to nightclubs, bars. And he would ask for the privilege of getting up in front of the people there, and he would quote this word for word. It was a word of witness to many people who probably, if they were in a bar on Christmas Eve, were struggling anyway. And he's sharing the hope of Jesus with them. When you and I prioritize God in our hearts and lives, we make room for Him. He can do amazing things. Let me remind you of something else. When you and I are reminded of the fact that there's no room at the end, can I just tell you that one of the great ways you and I can make for a meaningful Christmas in our own lives is to make sure that we are doing something about human need in our own Christmas experience. Making it part of our family tradition, whatever that looks like, so we are reaching out to touch human need. We live in a great place. I love Clarksville. Love living here, love working here, love playing here. But folks, there are a lot of folks right here in our community who are struggling. And there are ways, whether it's Christmas or at some other time, that you and I can reach out to them and we can touch them in a powerful way if we will simply prioritize meeting human need and we're reminded of that human need by what Mary and Joseph found when they arrived in Bethlehem. Let me share with you one more thing about that. Sometimes I think we need to be aware that God does amazing things with very little. We talk a lot about the manger, and I've been to Israel. I've seen the possibilities of what a manger might have looked like. Some of them are hewn out of stone. That kind of thing looks a little different than what we'd see in our nativity scene. Some of them could have been made out of wood, although wood was fairly scarce in much of the Promised Land or much of Israel. But it's possible that it looked like that. But it doesn't actually say he was in a stable. It says he was laid in a manger, right? But in that picture, one of the things we are reminded of is whatever it was borrowed. And can I just tell you that God does amazing things with borrowed things? You know, as a matter of fact, there's a manger that was borrowed. And it's entirely possible, by the way, and likely that this place where the manger was, if they really did keep animals around there, that it probably was a cave somewhere. And so when you and I think about that, there was a borrowed manger. But you know what else was borrowed? Just think about the ministry of Jesus. He borrowed a boat to get out in the water and be able to preach back to the people. He had an opportunity to borrow an upper room to gather his disciples together for a Last Supper. He borrowed a cross, if you will, for a short period of time. His tomb was even borrowed. I tell you that because I want you to know that whether it is a little boy's lunch or a manger, whatever you and I will offer to God, if we are sincere in doing that, God can do amazing things with what we surrender to Him. Oh, that you and I would be a people who make room for Jesus in all of our lives. The first Christmas was really a simple scene. And yet we put so many layers of other things on there. And by the way, this is not against Christmas decorations. I love them. I'm just telling you. But there's so much that we do that's extra that sometimes we can miss the simplicity of the fact that Jesus was God who put on flesh. What a powerful picture that is. The second question I want you to ask beyond is there room for Jesus in your Christmas is this. Are you and I so busy that God can't interrupt our schedules? Are we so busy that God can't interrupt our schedules? Look, if you would, at verse 8. In the same room, there were some shepherds, in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Many scholars think that it's entirely possible those shepherds were taking care of sheep that would later on be sacrificed at the temple. So they are taking care of some sheep about 5-6 miles outside of Jerusalem. And as they're taking care of them, doing their thing, right, all of a sudden they are interrupted. It's amazing how many interruptions are in Scripture. Moses was interrupted by a burning bush, right? Jonah was interrupted by a big storm and a big fish, right, along the way. Mary was interrupted by an angel who told her something was going to happen that could be very upsetting to her. Over and over again, you and I are reminded of interruptions in our lives, and these shepherds were interrupted in a powerful way. A heavenly host approached them. And as that heavenly host approached them, isn't it amazing how those angels approached the shepherds immediately? Look at verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for behold," can I just tell you, whenever God interrupts your life and gives you instructions, one of our first responses is to be afraid of being out of control. And when you and I look at what the shepherds are doing here, they're simply responding. They're terrified. All of a sudden, something they've never seen happens. These angels show up in the sky. But as they do that, can I just remind you of a couple things? The shepherds were in the right place, doing the right thing. And if you and I are living our lives following Jesus, there are going to be some times that God's going to interrupt your schedule. There are going to be some times when God's going to give you some instruction that you need to follow. He's going to tell you to help somebody. He's going to tell you to surrender some part of your life. He's going to ask you to serve in some way. And when God speaks, we better listen. Now, those shepherds, they really didn't have much choice but to listen because God lit up the sky. I don't know about you, but God hasn't lit up the sky with an angelic host for me before. But I will tell you one very brief story. Early in college, I found myself running from God, from His will, for my life. Part of that involved ministry. I thought I was doing pretty good, right? And then one day, my freshman year of college, I topped a hill in my car, and it had been snowing, and it was icy, and the road crews, unbeknownst to me, had taken care of the upward side of the hill, but they were just now making their way down the hill. And I got up on the top of that hill and slid literally all the way out of control to the bottom of that hill and met another car. Praise God, I walked away. But it was one of those experiences in my life because I was running from God when there was no question in my mind. God said, "You need to straighten it up. You need to get right with me and with my will for your life." And I can tell you that, fortunately, I did respond. And fortunately, God spared me from physical harm in that situation. But can I tell you that God has a way of getting our attention? And listen, if you're a child of God, you will not indefinitely walk in sin without God getting your attention. As a matter of fact, it's amazing how God will get the attention not only of Christians who may be straying, but sometimes of lost people. God will put person after person or situation after situation in their way so He can get their attention to point them to the hope of Jesus. The shepherds began to move beyond resistance and fear, and God did something very special to them. One of the things that He did is He gave them a message. And you notice the way they responded? They went to check it out. They went to see, did this thing really happen? And so they went and found the baby, and they worshipped Him. And as they did that, then they went back, and they began testifying about what they'd seen. Can I just tell you what that models for us? Some of the difficulties of your life that God is walking with you in those circumstances can become a testimony for you later on to share with someone else who is struggling. And so, can I just give a word of hope to all of you who may be here this morning, and this week, this Christmas is a struggle for you? Can I tell you that God walking with you, and by the way, Emmanuel means God with us, the picture of God walking with you can become a testimony later on to others that you will run into who are struggling through a Christmas season with circumstances of their own. One little side note, isn't it interesting also how God drops unexpected things that can interrupt us, like, well, a bunch of you met me over one night recently at another church, Kenwood. A year ago, we had no idea this might be developing. And yet it seems that God is taking us down this road together. Isn't it amazing what God can do? Our God is a resourceful and a rich God. And when you and I begin to look at what was happening here, what we begin to realize is that God was doing something not only to get their attention, but he was using them as witnesses to the miracle of the birth of the Son of God. Oh, that you and I would be witnesses to the fact that we have met the Son of God. By his grace, he has saved us. By his grace, he's changed our destiny. What a great picture. Jesus is not just some cuddly little baby in a stable. Let me tell you, he's the Lion of Judah. He is coming again. And so when you and I think about who he is, praise God that he interrupted those shepherds. And he said, there's something you need to see. Just wonder, are there some of you here who are scheduled so tightly, you don't have room for God to interrupt you sometimes? All that we would make sure that we answer that question. Let me share with you a third thing. The third question is simply this. Has the truth of God's word really changed us? Has the truth of God's word really changed us? I want you to look at verse 19. Mary had just seen a bunch of stuff. An angel came and told her she's going to have a baby. You can imagine the people in Bethlehem, or excuse me, in Nazareth were giving her a hard time. She ends up traveling with Joseph, going to Bethlehem. And once they get there, she'd seen all kinds of things, and now she's seen some shepherds who come showing up to worship her son. That word there, pondered. I want you to think about that. Now, I could go into the Greek. I'm not going to. Let me go into American culture. You know what that means? She's posting on Facebook. You won't believe who came to see my son today. You won't believe the scene. She is making note of what God had done. What she's really doing is she's testifying to the fact she's cherishing God's work in her. What a powerful picture that he would use her as the vessel to bring the baby into the world. What a great gift. Mary treasured what only God could do. I think it's interesting that Luke, who writes this gospel, was a physician. And it's Luke that tells the story between two babies that are still in the womb who interact. You read the first chapter of this great picture of the fact that John the Baptist, later be called John the Baptist, right? And Jesus already get sort of acquainted in that scene. What a great picture that Luke would make note of that. Mary is surrendered to being a channel of blessing. And in so doing, God is not only using her to bless other people in a sense, but you know what he's doing? He's showing us our God is faithful and we can trust him. Everything that Mary had heard and had seen pointed to the fact that our God is a God of his word. Mary surrendered to him. And by the way, it's interesting because when you see the encounter between Mary and the angel, she doesn't say, I got this covered. No. She says, whatever your will is, that's what I want. Just a little side note here about all of us. Walking with Christ is less about commitment and more about surrender. I don't know about you, but sometimes I break my commitments. But surrender comes on his terms. Whatever he asks us to do, wherever he asks us to go, whatever it is God is calling us to do, that's what we are surrendered to. It's uncomfortable sometimes, but praise God, He does amazing things when we surrender. Mary is treasuring all these things, pondering them in her heart. She's putting together the proverbial baby book of Jesus. And these stories, by the way, were preserved for us because we see them in Luke and also in the Gospel of Matthew. Mary had submitted to true discomfort, but as she did that, that temporary pain would be turned into seeing something amazing that would happen. But it's so important also that you and I are reminded, Mary wasn't just there at the birth of Jesus. The Scripture reminds us she's around when Jesus goes to the cross. She knows something of what's going to take place when He ends up going to Calvary. All that you and I could hear the story of what she might have said, not only about His birth, but about His life, and then His going to the cross and leaving behind an empty tomb. There are many that witnessed some of the greatest things in all of Scripture, but Mary saw the beginning and the physical end of Jesus, and then an empty tomb. What a great story. What a great picture. I just wonder today, have you and I stopped to think about the fact that God's Word is not just something to be looked at, it's something that changes our lives. Think about it. Think about your church. God doesn't just call us to come and have church on Sunday. God calls us to come together on Sunday so we can be on mission all week long, living for Jesus, sharing Christ with people, sharing hope with people. And when you and I begin to understand that, God does amazing things. I want to close with a couple of things. One is this. Galatians 4, verse 4, is the hidden Christmas story in Paul's writings. Galatians 4:4 reminds us that at just the right time, God sent His Son. Born of a woman. What a great picture. The timing was exactly right. Just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, some of you are struggling with some timing issues in your own life. You're wondering why something's happened or why you are where you are or whatever it is. Can I just tell you, our God is in charge. Nothing about the Christmas story caught the Father by surprise. Nothing about the cross story caught the Father by surprise. And here's the promise. Christmas is so valuable not just because of the virgin birth, but because of what Jesus did on the cross for all of us. And that's not the end of the story. We are reminded He's coming again. In all His glory. A new heaven and a new earth. So let me just bring this to a close in this way. I love all the Christmas season and so much that it brings. But I just want to ask you some questions to think about this morning. The first thing is there room for some worship and some witness and some of the Word in your life this Christmas? Secondly, as you live your life each day and as we look to a new year, would God be allowed to interrupt your schedule with His plans? All that you and I would listen carefully to what He's doing to get our attention. And thirdly, this, has the Word of God and what God has done, has it really changed us? Because if it has, our lives are different. And regardless if He's changed us, regardless of where you spend Christmas this year, or who's missing around the table, or whatever situation, He is with you. I have to tell you one more thing. And that is that just this week, I already told you about my Thanksgiving interruption, right? We had the days scheduled out, Shirley and I and our kids and all that kind of stuff. And And my parents live about 4 hours from here. And yesterday afternoon, got a phone call from my dad. Mom's in the hospital. So our plans, a little up in the air this week. It happens, right? It happens. But our God is with us. Amen? I want to share a word of prayer with you in just a moment. Wherever you are this morning, I want to ask if you would ask yourself a question. Is God calling me to respond in some way today? If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to clean up your life and then come to Him. What you need to do is to surrender to Him and trust Him, and He will change you. Secondly, maybe you're here and you've been attending Second Mile for a good while, and you need to let the folks here know that you want to be a part officially of this church family. Or maybe there's just a prayer concern on your heart and life, especially as we go into Christmas. I'm going to share a word of prayer in just a moment, and I want to invite you to respond if God leads you today. And if He does, don't hold back. Have the courage to say yes to Him. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father and God, we are so grateful for this season of the year. But Lord, we are also mindful that You are such an amazing God, that You could not only orchestrate the Christmas story, but You could speak to each of us individually where we are. And Father, if there is a person here today who finds themselves not knowing for sure that they belong to You, I pray that they would settle that issue before they leave this place today. Lord, if there's someone here who needs to become part of this church family or share a prayer concern, I pray that these moments of invitation would be a time in which we can respond in courage, knowing that You hear us. Guide us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.